My name is Brandon Alvarado, and my favorite hero is The Flash. Though not an expert on all things comics, I'll run till I'm an expert on all things Flash. A contributor at Revenge of the Fans, and author of Flash-centric column, The Final Lap, I dive into the Speed Force to share theories, thoughts, and talk all things Flash with fans of all ages. I am The Scarlet Fan. Hello, Flash fans, and welcome to The Scarlet Fan Unplugged. I am Brandon, The Scarlet Fan, Alvarado, here, and thank you for joining me on episode 2 of this Flash-centric podcast. We had a great time last time talking all things Flash, and now we have a lot of Flash stuff to talk about. I have a lot of topics that I want to discuss with you guys. I have some Q&A questions sent to you from the likes of Twitter, and I just want to jump right in and talk some Flash with you guys. Thank you to all of you that actually looked up the pod and listened to it. I am really excited to know that there's people listening to this guy in Florida just talking Flash stuff and just having a good time with me. And I just want to keep building this Flash excited community. There are a lot of exciting things happening. Interesting thing happening in the comics. Awesome episode last time at CW The Flash, and some interesting Flash news for the Flash movie that should be going to production soon, whether we are excited about this or not, which I am excited, but I have some thoughts about the direction that they're going and ideas that I have in regards to what would be a perfect Flash movie. But then again, those are my thoughts, and I'm going to share them with you guys in this episode. So I have a couple of topics I've picked out about recent events and recent reveals or teases or leaks that we've had from different areas of media in regards to all things Flash. And the first thing I want to talk about is about the set pictures that were revealed, I would say probably a little over 3 weeks ago, that tease that the CW is going to introduce a version or a form of Godspeed. Now, to those that know, in the current run of the DC Rebirth's new version of the Flash comic, Godspeed is one of the newest speedster villains that's been introduced to the Flash mythos. Beloved worldwide, to me, is one of the greatest additions ever made. I love the character of August Hart. I love his relationship with Barry Allen. He was introduced originally in Volume 1 of Joshua Williamson's DC Rebirth's The Flash. I think that the story is called Lightning Strikes Twice, or at least the arc where he is originally introduced. And it's a very awesome story, the way he gets his powers, his backstory, his relationship with Barry Allen. So I'm going to be honest, I've been wanting to see a live version of Godspeed, apart from the fact that his costume is sick. But I've been wanting to see a version of Godspeed come to life. And when I heard the news that they were bringing in Godspeed to season 5 of The Flash, and I saw the pictures, understanding that it is a real thing, I got mixed feelings about it. I don't know what to feel. And the main reason I don't know what to feel is because we don't know who August is in the show. We see a perfect depiction of the costume of Godspeed. So it's either extremely elaborate cosplay, or it's just that they're doing hands down the exact costume from the comics, which is perfection. I think the closest that I've seen of a New 52 rendition of a costume is going to be Wally West's Kid Flash costume and Season 4 Barry's costume, which is my favorite costume that they give into Grant Gustin. I'm starting to grow in a little bit to the new one, but I just love how the Season 4 costume does a lot of callbacks to the New 52 and the current Flash costume in the comics, which is my favorite. So they're going to introduce Godspeed, and the reason I have mixed feelings about this is because there's this idea that they might be introducing him in the future as a version of Godspeed. I don't know if it's going to be August wearing the costume, maybe someone else wearing the costume. And just like the Flash mantle has been passed on in the comics, maybe the Godspeed mantle in the series will be passed down, which is an interesting concept. But the main reason why I feel troubled about them introducing Godspeed without August or just showing the costume of Godspeed is because what makes that villain compelling is his relationship with Barry Allen. And we have not seen August. So in my opinion, if we're really gonna be able to grasp what makes that villain amazing, we have to have a seed for that relationship between August and Barry. And if they're going to introduce Godspeed and just throw him into the mix and we have no idea what relationship he has to Barry, or if he's probably from a different Earth and he had a different relationship with that Barry of that Earth, which is okay, I'm going to feel underwhelmed, because Godspeed is one of those villains that requires, calls for that buildup, which is one of the main reasons why on my issue number 8 of the final lap on the Revenge of the Fans, the Academy of Zoom, is one of the big points that I mentioned, that why the Zoom in the comics is not the Zoom in the show, and why it's an original character, because they had to adapt a Wally West villain to Barry Allen and have to make it, and instead of making him a friend of the hero, and build from there, they just made him like two sides of the same coin. But at the end, they completely changed and altered the character and took away what made him interesting in the comics. Though they made him very interesting and compelling for the show, that storyline in the comics is very dear to me for Godspeed. So some people think or believe that this introduction to Godspeed is going to be like a tease of something that's coming up. Maybe we're going to see someone be cast as August Hart towards season 6, and he will become Godspeed in the midst of the season, which for me would be perfection. I always thought that if we're going to have Godspeed as a full-blown villain in the show, we have to introduce him as August at least mid-season, a season prior. Like for the middle, for half a season, a season prior, or introduce him in the beginning of the season, have him build a relationship with Barry, and then towards the end, towards the second half of the season, become Godspeed and become the villain that we know and love in the comic books. I really suggest everybody that does not know about Godspeed to pick up Volume 1 of the DC Rebirths, The Flash, because that story is some of the best Flash writing that you'll ever read. I think Joshua Williamson has done a great job in capturing the essence of Valor Allen. Especially not only that, but the artist that draws the Flash for that arc, Carmen DiGiandomenico. That guy is my favorite Flash artist. The way he captures lightning, the way he captures movement, the way he uses colors, his color palette and taste just beautiful and astonishing. And you see all his talent throughout that arc, especially when he captures Godspeed. Check it out. Check out Volume 1 of DC Rebirths Flash. You can know about Godspeed. And you can learn about their relationship. Because it goes beyond the fact that they were just friends. Their views on justice, their views on the use of power, are very different, and pretty much define, accentuate who Barry Allen is and how he stands for justice, and accentuates the askew version of justice and power that August has as a cop and as a speedster when he acquires his powers. Because you know that when you acquire speedster abilities, I say like it's a real thing, but you have pretty much godlike abilities. I mean, technically, you could try and travel. Technically, you're thinking more faster than everybody else. There's so many things that you can do that if the power's not in the right hands, a lot of things can go wrong. A lot of people can get hurt. Hence why the Reverse Flash, not only for the Flash, is such a threat. He is a threat to many heroes of the DC universe. Do I want to see Godspeed in the TV show? Yes. But I want it done right. I hope that the them showing Godspeed, it's like how they showed that version of the Flash from Gypsy's Earth. I think it was in season 3. That was like a glimpse, and then he left. I hope it's something like that. I don't want it to be significant to the season or to the story, because then I'm really gonna be wanting them to pay it off in a fitting way. I don't want it to be a Dr. Alchemy situation where they pretty much threw that character under the bus as soon as the character of Julian came to the good side. I don't want it to be a Zoom situation where that one, they had no choice. They adapted it to Barry Allen, but it worked, but it wasn't a Zoom from the comics, which in my heart, I still kind of want to see. But I want Godspeed to be given his due. Godspeed is a Barry Allen villain. He does not to be changed or twitch. He needs to be done justice, especially because he's one of the best things to ever happen to the Flash mythos, especially in the last 3 to 4 years. So, you heard me, CW. Do Godspeed justice. Do it right. Not that I don't have faith in you, because this season has been awesome, and I've loved what you've done with the Reverse Flash teases. I got a little couple issues with Cicada, but overall, the season's been pretty strong. So, I know that you guys have a great Godspeed arc in your tool belt. Just give it to us, and don't ruin the Godspeed character. That is my hope for the remainder of the Flash TV show. So, those are my thoughts about that. So, Ezra Miller, our very own Snyder cast Barry Allen, said a couple of things, or at least some of his comments became known. I don't know how to talk today. So Ezra Miller's comments in regards to the Flash movie and its pre-production process came out a couple of weeks ago, probably 2 or 3 weeks ago. And he talks about how he recognizes that they're taking it their time. Barry Allen's always late, but he always gets the job done, which is typical Barry Allen. But here are the comments that make me think, make me go into a rabbit hole of theorized despair and weird thoughts and stuff. He talks about how the speedsters in the DC universe play a role in the multiverse, right? And I agree. It was through the Flash comic books, the Flash Two Worlds, back in the 60s, I think it was, that they introduced the multiverse by reintroducing Jay Garrick from the Golden Age in the Flash of Two Worlds storyline. He had a big role in Flash and in Crisis of Infinite Earths. He introduced the New 52 because of what Flash did in Flashpoint. So yes, speedsters had a very big connection with the multiverse, because they're able to travel to different realities, they're able to alter time and all that stuff. And the way that he was teasing what they're preparing for in the movie, working on the script, is that they're going to be focusing on these dimension shattering or traveling elements of the Flash mythos. So they're going to be introducing it, like they're going to make this very own speedster multiverse. Mary Francisca Robles, my cousin and editor-in-chief of Revenge of the Fans, has talked about in the Revengers and his own podcast how the big movement now with DC movies is the worlds of DC. It's creating these pocket worlds for each individual DC property and superhero. You know the rumors that they have with Aquaman after success that they're probably going to make a Trench movie. Shazam might spawn the Shazam family movie or different side stuff. Like within the Shazam universe, you're going to have a Black Adam movie by itself and then bring them together and all that stuff. On Superman, you probably have Superman and Supergirl. Crypto? Aaron Varela, Crypto? and then the Green Lantern, you probably have the Green Lantern Corps, and you probably have individual Green Lanterns that will compose that world and probably have their own movies. So the worlds of DC in the Flash universe, they're kind of teasing that it's going to be different versions of the Flash, probably having different adventures, different pairings, different encounters. And I like that idea of them bringing the multiverse together, or bringing this diversity of color palettes of worlds together, and using the Flash to do that. And I love the fact that the way he phrases the script that they're developing and the story that they're writing is that it's going to be a gift to the fans. So I'm expecting that they're going to get the running right. They're going to get the powers right. They're going to get the Barry Allen character essence right, which they didn't do in Justice League. They're going to get that essence right. And they're going to bring Jay Garrick to the big screen, Wally West to the big screen, all these people. I'm really excited to see all that. But I don't want the first Flash movie to be that. I think, especially after the wrong use of the character in Justice League, in my opinion, I think Barry Allen deserves a fresh coat of paint and a fresh reboot of that character in his own solo movie. I'm afraid that they're trying to follow the idea of the Flash being DC Spider-Man, which is not true, and trying to make him sole comic relief to a degree, that they're trying to make the Flash movie their own version of Spider-Verse, which it's not that. I mean, Barry Allen is a lot more than that, and the best thing about the Flash family is that it develops and grows organically. The last thing I want is for them to shoehorn in Jay Garrick, Wally West, Excess, Impulse, and all these people from all different timelines and multiverse all in one movie just to make it an interesting and funny movie, but then lose providing us the core of this Flash universe, which is Barry Allen. His transformation into the Flash created the Speed Force. I mean, I want to see Eobard Thawne. I want to see so many things that probably haven't been seen in the show, because I think that's probably part of the reason why they're probably going full on in to the multiverse thing. It's because the show has done so many things already that they don't want to retread familiar territory. They don't want to do the origin story again. They don't want to do Reverse Flash again. So, or they want to do a different version of the Reverse Flash. Hence them doing this Speedsterverse movie. But I really believe that Barry Allen deserves his due in the big screen. We have not seen a comic book origin story where we see him discover who he is on his own and grow, and how his cop mentality affects the way he ventures into different crime scenes, how he ventures into solving different mysteries. We haven't seen his intellect in action. We haven't seen his sense of hope in action. There's so many things we haven't seen in the big screen that should be explored in a solo movie, that for me to think that our Flash movie is going to be their version of the Spider-Verse, it kind of disappoints me in a way, because it feels like they don't believe that Barry Allen can hold his own. Now, that being said, I love Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, but part of what makes that movie perfect and beautiful is the fact that they built upon the years of Spider-Man material that have been cemented, and then developed something completely new. There is no Miles Morales if there is no Peter Parker, just like there's no Wally West if there's no Barry Allen. So give me a good Barry Allen first. Work on the Speedster multiverse and all the stuff towards the sequel, and then give me a grander passing of the mantle towards the third movie. I mean, I want there to be a Flash trilogy. That's my dream. But we shouldn't start with building up this multiverse of different Speedsters when we have not set up our main Speedster, our main hero, first. If Aquaman got his own movie where we were introduced into his universe, parallel dimensions and time travel are not all what the Flash is good for. Flash is great, dramatic, and enticing, intriguing storytelling. It's great drama. Why do we think that we can't produce that? Now, I'm being too critical. I can't say that they can't believe they can't produce that. Because Ezra Miller did say that they're going to try and do something as a gift to the fans. And I really hope they do. But I hope they understand that fans just want good movies. Fans just want good and defined characters. And if they think that the Spider-Verse movie worked because there were many different versions of Spider-Man, that's not why it worked. It worked because the writing was amazing. It worked because the animation was amazing. And it worked because a lot of those versions of Spider-Man, pop culturing fans kind of already knew. The pop culture zeitgeist was ready for a new version of Spider-Man, was ready to move away from Peter Parker and grasp a new Spider-Man or a new take on it. That's why we love Miles Morales today. Could they have accepted Miles Morales as Peter Parker was never introduced? Yeah. But then again, Miles Morales' story is so deep in the story of Peter Parker as well that you don't want to tell one story without the other. That's why Spider-Verse was perfect. So please, WBDC. If it sounds like you're working on a great script, it sounds like you want to give something perfect, but this particular Flash fan doesn't need a speech or multiverse right away. He just wants to see his hero made justice. I want to see a Flash movie that takes the time to develop Barry Allen and show us why he's a hero we should run with. And then introduce all the heroes that his heroism and life have spawned, because that is what we see. Either different versions of Barry Allen or the great and amazing Wally West, the great Bart Allen, Jay Garrick coming together and all that stuff. It all starts with Barry. Give me a solid Barry first. Please don't make this a huge Spider-Verse movie. That's sequel territory. And in that segue, sequel territory, I thought that it wouldn't be fair me talking about Ezra Miller's comments and all that stuff and what kind of troubles me about that without me sharing with you what I thought would be a perfect Flash film trilogy. So I'm gonna jump into that right now. Ready? Go. Okay. I say go to myself. I'm weird. So I've said it before, and I think I wrote about it on the site, on the issue 9 of the final lap, about where I talk about the state of the current Flash movie. I'm really excited about the fact, parentheses. I'm really excited about the fact that there's finally movement, that Daly and Goldstein are rewriting the script or writing the script for the movie. I'm really excited about that because they're great writers, and I loved Homecoming, Spider-Man Homecoming. I'm glad that they have a brand new producer from New Line. I'm glad that there's movement, and I'm glad that Ezra Miller is still talking about the movie, which means that we still have him as our Barry Allen, because, again, I'm going to keep saying this over and over again. I love Ezra Miller as an actor, and I believe that he has an amazing Barry Allen performance in him to give us fans. Justice League, I just don't think that he gave us Barry Allen, probably because of the very little screen time that we got and the way he was used in the movie and the material that he was given. Which is why I believe that his first movie should be a solo one and kind of a reboot of the Barry Allen character. So, end parentheses. And I'm giving quotation marks on a headphone. Podcast. I'm weird. okay, so where was I? Oh, right. My take on a Flash trilogy. It would be, the first one needs to be a personal solo Barry story. I believe we should see Barry have been the Flash for a couple of years now. Maybe have fought the Rogues here and there. Very similar to, though I don't like the comparison, but very similar to the Spider-Man PS4 game did, where Peter Parker was already 8 years in and it starts with him taking down Fisk. Do something like that with the Flash, where Barry Allen has been the Flash for a while. And maybe he takes down a new rogue, takes down Mirror Master for the first time. That'll be a great spectacle for an opening sequence, I think. Do that. Do a lot of emphasis on flashbacks in the sense of him, the lightning strike. We need to see the lightning strike done on screen. We need to see him testing his powers. We need to see him creating his suit or finding materials to create his suit. Maybe develop the Flash Ring. It should be a Flash Ring. Or like a Power Rangers morpher that becomes a Flash Ring. That's an interesting thought. At least a prototype. but yeah, the first one should be a personal story. I would say one rogue might not be enough to make it a very interesting final match. Maybe be the first time that the rogues come together after he has defeated them countless times. If you make a very captivating Leonard Snart and a very captivating Mick Rory, if you make a great captivating group ensemble cast of rogues, you can make this work in the first Flash movie. I think that would be awesome, because then you can see how powerful the Flash is, and you can see him be creative with his powers when he has to face all the rogues at the same time, which has happened numerous times in the comics. And that way you don't need to reintroduce Eobard, the Reverse Flash. You can do that in a sequel in the future. You see Flash being tested and being creative with his abilities. Maybe he learns or forces himself to learn new abilities, try different things with his abilities that he probably has never tried before. So even though we see flashbacks where he learns how to use his powers, we are still discovering new things about his abilities at the Speed Force with him. And also have the drama set the tone in terms of him discovering crimes solves crimes, probably introduce how he's handling everything with his mother's murder and how he has that in the back burner of his head, how that fuels him. Give me a solo story. Introduce Iris, but don't do the ship just yet. Just introduce Iris so you can see how he becomes infatuated. You can see his awkward social skills in terms of how he's always very closed off, doesn't really get together with a lot of people. He's more of a loner because of his obsession with freeing his father and all that stuff. Reboot the character and give me that. That would be a great... that's our cliff notes of what the first Flash movie should be, in my opinion. I think there's a great Flash solo story to be told that is really faithful to the comics, that treads a lot of ground that the TV show has not ventured in. Because you gotta know, in the Flash TV show, this is an ensemble cast from the very get-go. This is a very original take on the origin story. It's comic book related, but it's not comic book accurate in a lot of the way he becomes the Flash. This is very original to the TV show. So the movie has the opportunity to do a very faithful adaptation of the Barry Allen origin story, which I hope they do. So yeah, solo story for the first movie. But I told you I was going to give you my takes on a trilogy, right? So if we have a very closed out, personal and spectacle filled, because everything in Flash is spectacle filled, which I loved, Flash story, the second one can be that multiverse story. Does have not have to include time travel, but it can include all the different versions of different speedsters. I would definitely introduce Wally West. I would definitely introduce probably Bart Allen. I would throw everyone in there and make it a Flash family movie. And when written right, it could be amazing. That could be where you introduce different versions of the Reverse Flash. You can introduce Eobard. You could probably introduce even Zoom, because you can probably tease how Wally was a hero in a different era. But yeah, do the multiverse, time travel, or alternate reality storyline in a sequel after we've established Barry Allen, because then we can use Barry Allen as our point of view, or I would say even use Wally West as a point of view. Now, the biggest thing that I want to see now, and this is me just going crazy, in the end of the second movie, when you do this multiverse, I still want them to accentuate Barry Allen in the sense, maybe give a Crisis of Infinite Earths moment where he has to give his life to save the multiverse. of course, we can't do the anti-monitor. We can't do something that big. But he has to do a feat that will prove him to be the Flash of the DC Universe. And have him leave a legacy. Maybe Wally West gets its powers for the first time halfway through the movie. Or towards the end of the movie. And you have him give his life. And then Wally West is left as the Flash, and as Jay Garrick tutoring him and stuff like that. So if Barry Allen gives his life at the end of the sequel, maybe in the threequel, in the third movie, our main character is Wally West. And it's him discovering what it means to be a hero. But a hero in his own right. Having inherited the mantle of Barry Allen. Maybe he starts with the same Barry Allen suit, a little older, and becomes big in the Flash. And then towards the end, when he becomes a hero in his own right, he evolves into the Wally West, on the current Wally West, Ginger Wally West suit, with the hair out and everything like that. That would be amazing. And then he becomes the right heir. He becomes the heir of the Flash mantle and the Flash of the DC universe on movies. That would be amazing. Now, because I'm going to say this, even though I love, and Barry Allen is my favorite Flash, I love the Flash family and I love Wally West. And I love the idea of Wally West inheriting the mantle, becoming a Flash in his own right. That is an amazing story in and of itself. And if you can build into this into the Flash world of DZ Speedster Multiverse, that would be the story that I would like to see. So, to do a recap, movie one, personal story, maybe Rogues War, like I'm going to talk about something that Nick asked me. Do like a Rogues War, Rogues Reloaded arc, where he faces all the rogues for the first time, make that the spectacle, tease probably the multiverse, or don't mention it at all, just focus on Barry Allen and his development, his suit, his powers and all that. Movie 2, sequel, introduce the multiverse, introduce all the different versions of Speedsters, introduce Wally West, have him acquire his powers, introduce Jay Garrick, introduce Bart Allen from the future, excess, different alternate realities, different versions of the Flash, maybe an evil version, like Johnny Quick? Huh. Do that for the sequel. And towards the end, Barry Allen sacrifices himself for the good of the multiverse, and Wally West is left as Earth One's version of the Flash. And in the threequel is Wally West growing up to be a hero in his own right and embracing what it is to be the Flash for him and becoming the new hero of Central and Keystone City. So that's my take on a Flash trilogy. That's what I would like to see. I am still gonna, if they make it the multiverse thing, if they make it a Speedster multiverse for the first movie, I'm still gonna go see it. Hey, I'm probably even gonna love it. I'm probably gonna enjoy it. But this is what I would like to see. This is my dream pick for movies that I just provided you. That's the trilogy that I dream and would thoroughly enjoy. Let me know in your comments below. Because I really want to hear your take. What would be your perfect Flash trilogy? I really want to know. So moving right along, let's talk about something else. Something very interesting that happened this week, as of this recording, a couple of days ago. And even though this is a Flash-centric podcast, there is no CW, the Flash TV show, without Arrow. And those that know and saw the videos and stuff like that, Stephen Amell recently just announced that Arrow is coming to an end in its next season with a limited 10-episode run. This is bittersweet, is heartbreaking. As I talk about it right now, I am a little bit emotional because I love Arrow. And I've loved Stephen Amell and everything he's brought to the character of Oliver Queen. I love how the character of Oliver Queen has evolved. I love how Stephen Amell has evolved as an actor throughout the seasons. And I'm really going to miss the guy. I'm going to miss this show. This show has been so good. This show has been the reason why we have a universe of DC characters in the CW. He is the reason why we have a great Flash in Grant Gustin, because the Grant Gustin's Barry Allen was introduced in the mid-season finale of the Arrow TV show, season 2. But yeah, this guy's a trailblazer, and more than anything, my love and my respect for Captain Amell goes out to the fact that he has been an ambassador for fans. He has been a geek, he's been a fan, and he has been a huge example for kids and people, and for fandom. For fandom should be. For everything good with fandom, he is a great example of this. With all his videos, all his Q&As, the way he geeks out about stuff and shares it with us, even when he teases things, he values the audience that has seen this show so much. And as a fan, I love the guy for it. And the fact that he is ending the show. And that's one of the things that I wanted to also mention. A lot of people go like, oh no, the show got canceled. The show didn't get canceled, okay? The show is ending because Stephen Amell wants to move on to do greater and bigger things. It was the show's leads and the production team's decision to end the show. They're ending the show in their own terms. They believe that Arrow has fulfilled its purpose, has run its course, and I heavily applaud them for it. They're not dragging their feet. They're going to finish telling the story of Oliver Queen and call it a day, which great stories do. So they're not being canceled, and they don't need to be saved by Netflix. This show has done very good in and of itself by its own, and they're going to end in its own right, and I know they're going to go out with a bang. So it means that we're going to get the best of Arrow towards the end, because they're really going to focus on giving fans a great farewell, and give Stephen Amell a great farewell. I know he already teased that because of the way the Arrowverse works, he's going to come back as Green Arrow. But we will not have the Arrow TV show anymore. So in that respect, Stephen Amell, thank you for being an awesome ambassador for the fans. Thank you for being an amazing Green Arrow, an amazing stand-up human being. And for being awesome, man. Thank you for thinking of us when making this decision, and for always wanting to do right by the characters and do right by the stories that you tell. We will miss you, Captain Amell. You have not failed this city. You're awesome. Thank you. I'm going to miss Mr. Amell, and I will always be grateful for him, to him and to CW for giving DC Heroes a shot and making an amazing world out of it. So, I have one more thing to cover before I start signing off and go to Q&As. I thought I'd talk a little about comic books. And I currently, just to give you an idea where I'm at with the Flash comics, I have 80% of all the Flash comics from 1987 to 2009. An actual hard copy. So I've been reading that. I haven't read them in a while, but I read a little bit of the Wally West run. I have everything. I own every single comic book issue from the DC Rebirth line. So I'm pretty caught up what's going on now in the comics. And now I'm starting to collect everything for the New 52. Like I said in the beginning, I will become an expert in all things Flash. And I'm not kidding. But I want to talk a little bit about what's going on in the Flash comics right now. As you know, in the last 2 to 3 months, we've had the Heroes in Crisis storyline as a DC event. We had the Flash Annual number 2, and we also had the current crossover with Batman, The Price. And Barry Allen is a very particular place right now. And as you know, spoilers for anybody who has not read Heroes in Crisis, spoilers to anyone who has not read The Price, which I think you should. So this is your only spoiler alert. So spoiler, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go. So those that know, one of the big things from Heroes in Crisis is that Wally West has been murdered. And I am going to say the way they are exploring the depression, the hurt, the pain of loss in the Flash comics, in the Flash annual, has been really, really, really amazing. I'm really sad the fact that Wally West has died. They have to have a trick up their sleeve. They have to have a plan bringing him back in some way, shape, or form, especially because they just brought him back. They just brought Wally West back 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago. They can't leave him dead. There has to be a way to bring him back or a plan to bring him back because he's an integral part of the Flash family, which they were starting to rebuild in the new Rebirth line, which I still want to see more of that. Like, we know that Jay Garrick is trapped in Speed Force. We know that Impulse was just released from the Impulse Speed Force at the end of Flash War. And he was a big part of the annual number 2, Godspeed Returns. So they have to bring Wally West back. But the way they're handling the grief and the pain of loss and the anger of Barry pretty much taking upon himself, feeling guilty of sending Wally to Sanctuary at the end of Flash War, which is where he died. I think it's been pretty magical. It's been pretty... I've been getting all the feels. I've been tearing up reading this story. Because it pretty much shows the love that Barry Allen has for his family. And how much he loves Wally. And how he lives to protect his family. How he was not able to. And I think the Price storyline brings it to a head in a great way. Especially with the idea of them talking and discussing the fact that the life of a hero has a cost. There's a price that one pays when one tries, when one lives to save other people. And that's their main goal, is that you end up alone. Either because you push people away so they don't get hurt, or you push people away because people have gotten hurt and you can't handle it. It's been a very interesting study of that emotional weight and drama. And I think everybody should read it. I think it's one of the most heartbreaking stories I've read in a while. And especially that scene in the annual number 2 where you see Barry trying to learn from his mistakes in the past, where he keeps a lot of things or forgets to reveal secrets or has been so closed off like he usually is, sadly. He actually builds up the courage after Wallace West confronts him to tell Iris about the death of Wally. The way they capture his struggle, the way they capture Iris's reaction and then just crying on the floor when they find this about Wally is just heartbreaking. And I'm really interested to see how they continue to explore Barry's grief, Iris's grief. I just picked up Heroes in Crisis to actually read the story, in essence, to get the full picture of what's going on with this. But yeah, it's. I think everybody should read this. I hope those that are caught up, I hope they don't feel... I hope they don't lose faith in Josh Williamson. I don't think that he allowed Wally West. I don't think DC just killed off Wally West. I think the murder of Wally West being used as a good plot point for the Flash comic book. But I think they're going to find a way to bring him back. It's comic books, so they always bring people back. But I think they'll bring him back in a way that's going to be satisfying to all fans. Because even though I've had my reservations with the way Flash War was done, and I'm not crazy about the whole Force Quest thing, but it's been interesting. Joshua Williamson has delivered amazing Flash stories ever since he became head of the title in 2016. So I really have faith that they're going to bring this home, and it's going to be very satisfying. And whoever's not reading Flash comics should get caught up, because it's getting serious, it's getting good, and I look forward to see where they take it from here. And not only that, I'm also very excited for the Flash Year One miniseries that's coming up later this year, because I love origin stories. I love an origin story about my favorite superhero. I can't wait. So, yeah, just wanted to talk a little bit about the comic books, because there's no way you can talk Flash without talking comics, and that's pretty much what's happening right now. So yeah, let's see where this story takes us. And now, of course, the way the price ended, Barry's alone. Iris pretty much left. After Barry Allen left Iris alone, after he promised he wouldn't, Iris was the one, after the death of Wally, made the choice of leaving Barry Allen, because she needs time to think, she needs time to recover, she needs time to grasp the death of Wally and what it means to Barry, what it means to her in regards to Barry, because she actually wrote the obituary for Wally West, but she found out that she was actually writing Barry's because of the life that he has lived and still lives as a hero, and because of the price a hero pays with his life, where he ends up alone or just isolated because he wants to protect everybody but can't. So he'd rather not form connections, which is the main reason why Barry Allen never told in the beginning Iris that he was a Flash, because of the fear of them being hurt. But that is the price you pay as a hero. Or when you trust everybody, when you trust the person that you're with, you can probably overcome that fear, knowing that it comes with the territory, but knowing that becoming a hero goes beyond of just the price that you pay. I don't know. I'm rambling right now, so I'm going to stop. But that gives you an idea of my thoughts. I'm really excited to see where they go from here. I love what's going on in the comics right now with The Flash, and I think you should too. I would go to Comixology. This is an unpaid sponsorship. I would go to Comixology. They have great deals on comic books. I buy everything digitally there. And a lot of the Flash volumes going back in the DC Rebirth, you can get a great discount on them. A lot of times they pick up volumes of The Flash that each volume has like 6 to 7 issues for $5 a piece. It's awesome. That's how I got caught up. Did you get caught up to read comics? Pay for the comics, because that's the lifeline of these awesome heroes. And if you keep buying more comics, awesome stories keep coming. So keep buying, keep reading, keep providing for these creators to create more Flash stuff. Cool? Awesome. So how about, before we wrap up, we go into some questions, and I got my buddy Nick. My buddy Nick actually sent me a couple of comments/questions, things that he's interesting me covering here. So let me pull that up here in my handy dandy twatter, because of course we got to call it twatter, right? Okay, so my buddy Nick at PapaZ_95, he asked me, do you see the Flash movie using the more gimmicky villains like Captain Cold or Mirror Master? Or do you think they will go full on Rogue's War? He has a couple of questions, so I'm just going to start with that. Yeah, I think that there is space in the movie universe for them to do full blown Rogue's War, actually. I rather them do. They can do, if they go campy on the villains, that's not a problem, in my opinion, because DC kind of lends itself to be campy and be awesome. And especially because the DC TV shows did not do campy. That's how they can differentiate their version of Captain Cold and McRory and Mirror Master and Weather Wizard and Top, to make him a little bit more campy. Or if they make him serious, go full-blown crazy scientific and sci-fi with him. I would go full sci-fi with him, because that makes the campy acceptable if done right. Of course, I'm not expecting him to go nice to ice you or whatever. Batman and Robin, #don't do Batman and Robin, #, weird commercial. I don't know what that was. Yeah, I do definitely see them doing full Rogues, maybe do Rogues War or Rogues Reloaded storyline, like I mentioned before. I love these villains. I want them. They're a big part of, like, for example, you have the Batman, where you have all these serious, psychologically damaged villains, like Hush, Two-Face. Flash has an amazing rogues gallery, but a lot of them are very campy, but it works, because the Flash is colorful, the Flash is hopeful, but it can be serious, it can be dramatic, and even Leonard Snart being campy with his honor code and seriousness, we can still have a Leonard Snart that packs a very strong, dramatic punch. It's like everything. Every character, no matter how gimmicky it is, will be defined by its writing and its performance. So I really think, yes, they would use these. Yes, they should use these. Yes, I want them to use these. So yes, to that question. Question number two. Nick gave me like three questions, which is awesome. Nick also asks, would love to know what your favorite animated series moments of Flash are, from like Justice League, the animated series, or Justice League Unlimited. I'm going to go with Justice League, I think it's Unlimited, where the Wally West Flash, which I believe that's the Flash for that show, does the supersonic punch against Darkseid and pretty much gets lost into the Speed Force. Yeah, that's awesome. The fact that Darkseid is like knocked out after that punch, and then the drama of that moment where the Wally West of the Flash starts like growing transparent and starting to disappear. It's like their version of a crisis moment. That was amazing. That was powerful and beautiful. That would be definitely my favorite Flash moment. It kind of echoes with that moment where Wally disappears in Young Justice Season 2. Was it Young Justice? Yeah, Young Justice, I believe, Season 2. Those two moments. Moments like that, where the Flash does this big heroic thing that only he can do and inadvertently gives his life. But even though he gave his life, he does it with a smile, because he knows he died being a hero. He died doing something that he loved. That is amazing. That just tickles my heartstrings and makes me happy to be a Flash fan. So those are it. Justice League Unlimited, Supersonic Punch against Darkseid, and Young Justice, Wally West, Barry Allen, and Bart Allen running, and him being lost to the Speed Force due to the feat that they were doing. Those are my favorite animated moments. And last one, also from Nick. Let's see. It says, I think it was a mistake to introduce Wally and Jesse Quick in the TV show, but only because now they're only used for cameos. Wouldn't you rather have an all-Flash family TV show as opposed to the Team Flash we have now? That's a hard one. Just because the ensemble cast that they have in the Flash is so good. Like, Cisco, Caitlin, the Wells, Iris. I mean, that Joe West, that supporting cast is so strong that I can't really say that I'm bothered with them being part of the main cast, or them being there as opposed to a Flash family TV show. Do I want to see the Flash family more actively in the TV show? Hell yeah. Do I feel the way you feel in regards to their use of Jesse Quick and Wally? Not as much Jesse Quick, because she's always been a side character, and she's mostly been related to the Wally West run of the comics. But yes, I'm really heartbroken and upset with everything that's happened with Wally. I really wanted Wally to have a stronger presence in the show, not a fleeting one. I do understand that a lot of it has to do with them not wanting to recast Keenan Lonsdale to get a new Wally, which is fine because I actually did enjoy Keenan's Wally. I really enjoyed him, and I wouldn't want him to be recast. But then the actor wanted to do other things with his life, and that's and we got to respect that. And the show has kind of respected his decision to do this whatever he wants to do outside of the show, and respected that by not recasting and probably leaving the door open for him to come back to the role if he wants to, which I would love to see. I think, like I mentioned before, there's a big difference of what's going on in the TV show, being that it's an ensemble cast, so they take a lot of things of the Flash character and spread it out throughout the cast, as opposed to giving Barry all the science stuff and all the crime stuff. But I just, as long as the movie, for example, gives me a solo, brilliant, crime-driven, and bombastic Barry Allen in the movies, I am not going to miss what I didn't get in the TV show. I actually see it as an opportunity for them to do a more Flash family driven version of the Flash world in the movies. So I think we can probably have the best of both worlds. Because yes, has the TV show suffered story-wise because of that? Yes, but the TV show is still pretty strong. It's still one of the most watched DC superhero shows on TV. I still watch The Flash every time it comes out, and I love this Flash. The latest episode with King Shark and Gorilla Grodd was metal. I think I'm okay with it. I would like Wally West to return probably in the future season and be a more solid series regular. But yeah, that's how I feel about that. I don't like the fact that they're only cameos, but I don't feel that much bad as Jesse Quick. I'm good with her being a cameo. I'm good with Jay Garrick being a cameo. The one that really hurts me the most is Wally. But I think that what they've done with Excess, with Nora Allen, even though she's an original creation of the show, has been amazing. I love her on the show. I really look forward to her being a series regular for the next couple of seasons, whether she evolves into Impulse, please, or if she's just a season. I really hope we see another Speedster or Wally return or something like that for season 6. Those are my thoughts about that. So I'm going to start signing off. Thank you for joining me for episode 2 of The Scarlet Fan Unplugged. Nick, thank you so much for those questions, for those comments. They're really awesome, really intuitive, and really speak of the awesome Flash fan that you are, and that is awesome. So I love sharing Flash facts with you. So this is Brandon Alvarado, the Scarlet Fan here, signing off. If you want to know more about me, you can look me up on Twitter at Lexan Alvarado. That's at LEXAN Alvarado. You can also look me up on my other podcast, the Amateur Otaku Podcast, where I talk all things anime with the great Isaac Wolf. You can find our podcast at Amateur Otaku RTF, and you can find my Flash-centric column, The Final Lap, at RevengeOfTheFans.com. Right now is an issue 9. The last one talks about my thoughts about the current state of the Flash movie. And I talk a lot of Flash fan theories and stuff like that I have. I am working on a new edition that's going to come up probably during the month of March. But you can read all my Flash antics there. The Final Lap is what inspired me to do this podcast. So it comes out every month or so at RevengeOfTheFans.com, which is the best place to get all your Flash movie news and get all your geek news. We're also part of a wide variety of podcasts. There's the Revengers podcast for movie news. There's the Fanboy podcast, which is our editor-in-chief, Mary Francisco Robles, solo podcast. There's the Fanboy Garage, if you're into nostalgia and wrestling and a lot of awesome stuff. You have nostalgia movies and TV shows. There's also the Play It Loudcast, if you like video games. There's also Hops and Box Office Flops, which talks about movies that were flops and explores the story behind these movies. And they have their pilot episodes on the Island of Dr. Moreau, which is super interesting. It was a super awesome episode. So we have a great variety of podcasts available for you guys, and you should check them out at RevengeOfTheFans.com. So this is Scarlet Fan signing out. And as always, I'll see you at the finish line.